Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. A topic we've hit on this program before, which I think, given its magnitude, and I know that our guests will agree, given the magnitude of the challenge, problem, issue that we're dealing with, it is very much worthy of another discussion. And so we are very fortunate to bring John Wasik on the program with us. He's an author, speaker, columnist, and he's written the book Debt-Free Degree, an ebook from Forbes. It's available on Amazon, Apple Store, and Google Play. And so you've already deduced that it's about student debt. And so that's what we're going to be talking about. And we're very pleased to bring John to the program. Beth did her homework really well this time. She always does a good job, but she did a really extra good job finding John and asking him to be on the program. He's an award-winning author of 15 books, speaks coast to coast. He's a personal finance columnist, blogger for Reuters, one of the world's largest news services, covers a lot of investment protection topics, financial planning, taxes, really the whole gamut, and has appeared on NBC, NPR, PBS, all of the letters of the alphabet, I think he's had a chance to appear on. He's earned his BA in psychology and a master's in communications from University of Illinois, Chicago. And so we're very pleased to welcome John to the program. John, hi there.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, and I'm really excited to have you on because I understand that this $1.2 trillion student debt thing, problem, needs everybody's attention. And so I'm really glad you could be here to help us understand the problem and ways for people to deal with this. And our listeners are, you know, run the gamut, and some are retired, some are working, some are just starting out. So I think this is something that is really helpful for understanding because this affects, what, some 40 million Americans?
Well, it's more than that since it's really impacting two generations and more because it's a growing problem. I talk to people who are actually retired who are still paying off student debt. So it's a multi-generational problem.
And this isn't something that is just, well, you know, there's problems with students not being able to get jobs and they can't pay their debt. There's some real structural or, I don't know, system problems here that go to some of the lenders even being sued and or found to be in violations of various improper conduct. So this isn't just a quote-unquote student problem of not paying their debt.
Well, it's multi-layered because you are looking at people who are in debt repayment who don't know the best options to lower their monthly payments. You're looking at people who are not getting the information, going into debt and knowing that they don't need to do it in many cases, and others who are just really, really desperate to get a better job, more pay, and they get into situations where they get a degree that's worthless, and they get into debt on top of that. So it's insult to injury.
Yeah, no kidding. You know, that's something you make a good point, John. A lot of times we're focused on, golly, you've got the debt and you can't get a job or can't get the job you want, but then you're also really reflecting on the fact that the degree itself ends up not being anything like what it was presented to be. Well, let's do this. Let's back up and maybe we can do a little bit of borrowing from the healthcare field, maybe a little bit of preventive medicine, and maybe some recommendations you have on how to avoid some of these challenges to begin with. So for the grandparents out there and parents maybe advising their grandchildren and children and to the students who are going to be going to college, what are some ways to find colleges that will be a good deal, as you mentioned, you know, getting a good quality education, maybe not having to spend as much, maybe grants or other scholarships and things like that. How do we go about finding the colleges to begin with?
Well, the first thing you need to do is to dismiss this myth that you have to get into debt. You do not have to get into debt. In fact, if you're selective in your college search, you can avoid it altogether. The first thing to know is that you can save the most amount of money by throwing off this idea that you need a four-year degree to start out with. Community colleges offer the best values. Many students can work while they're in school. And you get the same credit hours, the same courses for a fraction of the cost of a four-year school. And your biggest savings come from avoiding room and board, which is more than 10 grand a year. So right off the bat, you can make that decision and say, you know, If Johnny doesn't know what he wants to do, or if he wants to sample a few things or get some basic courses out of the way, they can live at home, they can go to community college or a commuter college, even better, which are located in every city, and get a very good course selection. Everything they need, courses will transfer to a four-year school if they decide to go on, and they won't get into debt over it. So that's like the really basic first step.
You know, for a lot of students, and I'll count myself as one of them back when I was in college, you know, the first couple of years, the truth is, I really didn't know what I wanted to do. And, you know, so the logic seemed to be to go ahead and try to load up on all of the required courses, the things to get the associate's degree, and get that knocked out. So if students embrace that kind of approach because they're not sure, it seems to me that the junior college is, or community college is an excellent way of doing that because, as you said, those credits are going to transfer anyway.
Yeah. Well, you got to get beyond the idea that, you know, an 18-year-old knows what they want
exactly.
to do. I mean, I had some ideas. I wanted to get into pre-med.
Me too.
I got a degree in psychology, and I didn't either. And yeah. I ended up in a business that I truly loved. I've been doing this for decades. And I just got some basic education, which, if I look back at it, I would say, you know, I would still do the same thing, but I would take more, you know, business accounting
yeah.
type of things
yeah.
That were important. But you know, you can always go back and do that. You know, take a lifelong learning attitude. The one degree is not going to solve, you know, this question of what you're going to do the rest of your life. Get some good basic education out of the way and pay for, you know, English comp is the same course no matter where you go.
Yeah.
You know, Psych 101, Bio 101, it's all the same. Why spend more money and get into debt over it? I don't see any reason to do that.
Well put, John. I mean, why pay a lot for the muffler if you don't have to? You're just joining us. John Wasik is our guest, author, speaker, columnist. He's written the book, The Debt-Free Degree, an ebook from Forbes. You can also go to John's website, johnwasik.net, and it's W-A-S-I-K. .net, johnwasik.net. Quick break. We'll come back and dig a little deeper into how to avoid debt and then also get into these relief scams that are out there and how to be on guard for that. Stay right there.
Hello, this is Brenda Campbell, General Manager at Volusia Memorial Funeral Home and Cemetery, a Digny Memorial provider. We are committed to service beyond expectation before, during, and after the service. To that end, we offer a service guarantee. If there's anything we can do to meet your individual needs, please let us know and we'll take care of it immediately. This is another way we offer great level of professionalism in working with our families. We can be reached at 386-673-5373 or our website, VolusiaMemorialFunerals.com. Volusia Memorial Funeral Home in Port Orange and Ormond Beach. Life well celebrated.
And welcome back. John Wasik on the line with us, and he's written the book, The Debt-Free Degree, an ebook from Forbes, and go to John's website, johnwasik.net. And John, before the break, we're talking about, you know, some of the techniques to avoid getting into debt in the first place, and some great ideas, and I know you go a lot deeper into this in your book. But for those folks out there that are, no matter what their age is, or maybe somebody that has even co-signed or guaranteed a student's loan and find themselves now in a position where they are obligated to pay for that. There have sprung up, as you are very well aware, and I know you'll be able to help us with this, a lot of these debt relief programs out there, and it seems to be that a lot of it is, it's all over the place on the internet, and it strikes me as that I don't see a lot of regulation. So give us some ideas about what's going on and maybe some words of caution and some things that we can do as maybe some alternatives.
Well, the first thing that you need to know is that there is no such thing as debt relief. If you have federal loans, you can renegotiate payments. There are different payment plans. But all of those are available for free, and there's quite a few of them. So you really have to take a look at them all.
Mm-hmm.
And they're right through the Department of Education, and you need to pay no money to get into them. You just need to talk to your loan servicer and say, hey, you know, my income isn't what I thought it would be. Can I get a lower payment? And you can. The federal program is very generous on this, but you have to go right through the Department of Education. So when you Google, say, debt relief, you'll get a lot of these scam firms that are going to charge you money to get you into the federal program.
Hmm.
That's what you should be avoiding. there's no federal regulation of these firms. They can say and do whatever they want. Department of Education hasn't gone after them. Only a couple of state attorneys have. And it's a shame because they should be regulated. They shouldn't even be doing what they're doing. But, you know, if you Google things like, you know, Obama debt relief, or Obama forgiveness, you'll see these things pop up, and they're scams. Just avoid them.
Yeah, I've seen that a few times on that little sidebar that pops up, and they get your attention. What about, I've seen out there, and I'd love to get your thought on this, John. I've seen some of these things out there, programs that take a step further than what you just mentioned about getting you into the federal program. They actually will say that they can get your debt reduced, and basically it's a technique that involves suing the lender that loaned the money or the servicing company because they've done all these things incorrectly, and they don't, you know, they want to settle. They don't want it to become big public knowledge. Have you heard those kind of rumblings?
Yeah, there's some private for-profit colleges that have gotten a lot of people into debt. And basically the Department of Education and the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau have gone after them and said, look, you promised these people a decent degree, be worth something in the workplace, and it isn't worth anything. And you had no skin in the game. You put them in all these federal loans. And they said, you know, this is fraud. And they're really trying to get them to forgive these debts. So this is an ongoing process with a whole bunch of for-profit schools, which, you know, in general I would avoid.
Okay.
Because it's difficult when you get one of these degrees, you're in debt, and, you know, your employer or future employer says, you know, this isn't worth what you think it is.
Yeah.
And there's no accreditation that's really, really strong. So that's a big problem. There's a lot of litigation going on in this field. The general advice is be very, very careful with these for-profit schools because you really don't know, you know, if it's worth getting into debt over these things. And it's not the same thing as earning a degree from a, you know, a good public university.
Yeah, you've got the question of, are you really getting the benefit of your bargaining? Are you really getting what you're paying for? Yeah.
In many cases, it's just, you know, an employer won't say, yeah, I'll give you a raise or I'll pay you, you know, $80,000 for this degree. It's just not happening.
Well, back to your point, John, about public education, and yeah, I'm proud to say I'm a product of the public education system, and it worked very well for me. And I know it works very well for a lot of people. How do students find the best colleges that are going to offer, you know, back to this point about financial aid and maybe actually giving you a degree that's going to give you a good outlook for employment and for income?
Well, here's where you have to turn this whole question on its head again.
Mm-hmm.
So traditionally what we parents have done is think, well, what kind of degree do you want? What kind of, you know, education do you want? What kind of career do you want to pursue? You're asking this of a teenager, right?
You know, right.
Their whole life is in front of them, and it's a difficult question for anybody, even when they're in their 40s. So the better question is to ask, you know, what education, what college is going to provide you the most amount of value, the least amount of money? So this is kind of a return on investment question. And you can research that legitimately and say, look, say if Johnny wants to get a degree in, you know, engineering or something, you can find schools that will offer generous amounts of financial aid. And even if they do sell you with debt, you can find lots of numbers on, you know, what are graduates making 10, 20 years out, you know, in the workforce. And this is all available. There's a service called PayScale that would get you return on investment for degrees and colleges. So you have to ask this as a value question. So if you get an arts degree from this private college, is it worth the same as the STEM degree from, you know, another college? And another counterintuitive thing, and again, this research is all out there, so you just have to do a little homework, is to ask, you know, who is going to provide you the most amount of aid? And it's not always the public college, and they won't always give you the best value, because what you have to look at is the net price, and this
right.
is what you're going to pay after not loans, but all grants, scholarships, tuition discounts, work study is put on the table. Unfortunately, this isn't a really transparent process. You really have to go through all the application financial aid forms to find out what a college is really going to give you. but you can get some idea of, you know, how many students are getting aid, what percentage are graduating, what percentage are saddled with loans. You can go online to a service called College Scorecard. Now, it's a real dull, very unimaginative website, but it's really all these statistics that have been compiled and you can find out. So if you go to, you know, this public school, you can find out, hey, you know, their graduation rate's only 60%, not too good.
Yeah.
And they're saddling, you know, 40% of their students with loans, not too good.
Yeah.
And then you look up, compare it to a private school where it's like, hey, 90% graduation, you know, 60 to 80% of the kids are getting grants. And that's your value question. So ask, you know, what is the best value for your family? And you can make some projections as to the, you know, value of the degree and the program, you know, and some are better than others. So it's just, you have to do the comparison shopping here.
Yeah, that's good, John. Well, it reminds me of, you know, the advertisements we see for cars and or the deals that are out there on television or in the paper or wherever you see it. And what really matters is after you cut through all of it, it's what is an out-the-door tax title tag dealer prep, out-the-door, battery-free, fee, everything. What's the bottom line price? And that's really what you're getting at. And then you can evaluate that compared to some of these outcome data points that you mentioned, like with the college scorecard and sites like that.
And that's a great analogy, because today you can use any kind of search engine to find any car on any lot with any dealer and find exactly what you're going to pay in any given moment. You can't do this with colleges. I mean, you can get some idea. Some are more generous than others. Some have better, you know, outcomes than others. And yet, you really don't know until you go through the whole process and you say, here's our list of schools. We'll file the financial aid forms. We'll show them everything we got. And then you get an offer. Then you evaluate it. Then you can compare it. Then you can go back and say, hey, can you, you know, up the grant package a little bit more? I mean, so there's negotiation after you apply, there's after you go through the financial aid process. And the basic thing to remember is that it is all negotiable. You know, if several schools are after your kid and your kid's a good student, you know, you got a lot of leeway, more than you think.
Yeah. Well, it boils down to what's it going to take to get you into this college today. Great analogy. If you're just joining us, John Wasik is on the line with us, author, speaker, columnist, and he's written the book, The Debt-Free Degree, an ebook from Forbes. And you also go to John's website, johnwasik.net, WASIK. Quick break. We'll talk about navigating federal loans. So stay right there.
Hi, I'm Teresa Ram with the Volusia Flagler YMCA. The YMCA has 6 locations to help you and your family reach their health and fitness goals. The WISE child care programs provide a safe and nurturing environment. So whether it's Kids Zone while you're working out, after school enrichment programs, kids fitness programs, or Camp Winona Resident Camp, the Y is a safe place for your child. For more information, check out www.vfymca.org.
Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
All right, welcome back. John Wasik on the line with us. Thank God, because we need some help navigating all of this student debt stuff. And John's going to help us dig in now next on these federal loans. And so let's say, John, we got our best package, we got our best deal, we got our out-the-door price, we've selected the school, and the student and the family is going to need some financial assistance. What's next with navigating federal loans?
Well, there's a couple layers here. So there's limits on the basic loans that you can get through the government. And always choose, you know, the student loans first. There's another layer that will saddle parents with debt called PLUS loans. Avoid those at all costs, and avoid private loans if you can. So when you get into these loans, try to keep in mind that when you get out of school, it's a different situation. So let's say you don't get the job that you think will, you know, help you repay these loans. Well, then you can go back to the feds and say, you know, can I get into an income-based repayment plan? And there's several of them. So you can either scale up if your salary goes down or keep it at a certain level, or get forbearance, say if you want to go back to grad school. So there's a number of options, but you don't have to be absolutely shackled by debt to the point where you can't do anything else. But it, the bottom line is you have to pay it back, but there's different ways of paying it back a little bit, you know, more or less at a time, depending on how much money you make.
You know, what another avenue I was thinking of as you were describing, you know, how you have these different combination of loans and some that you favor and some that you would say, hey, stay away from these. Are you in favor, John, of more of the student taking the responsibility and the loan being, you know, in the student's name and it's their loan and they kind of own it? Or should we also consider where the parents are, you know, helping to underwrite this whole endeavor, that maybe they look at alternative loans that might be even less expensive, say, for just as an example, you know, a line of credit?
Well, I wouldn't advise anybody to take a loan out against their home or their 401k to finance college.
Okay.
Because you run into some very difficult situations there. Students have a lot more of a time horizon to pay back the loan if they need to. Obviously, the best course is to have as little debt or no debt as possible.
Right, right.
But, you know, saddling parents, I mean, they're already in a certain point, and once you take that money away or you take it out of their ability to save for retirement, that's going to hurt them too.
Okay.
So then you're weighing down two different generations, and I've seen it happen. And it's not a good thing.
No.
I mean, once you're getting close to retirement, you only have so many years to make up that money.
Amen to that.
And if you're in debt as well and you've got a mortgage and other expenses, I mean, that's not a good situation.
No, no, you know, it's not. I'm just curious what you thought about it. Now, when we get into some of these private loans you mentioned, and again, this is something I know that you would advise against, but let's say somebody's they've got a private loan and they're already there and, you know, things aren't working out, all the things we talked about earlier in the program. Are there any options in trying to get that debt relieved or like for example, bankruptcy?
Well, there's two options. It's very difficult to discharge a loan in bankruptcy. I mean, a lot of people say you know it can't, and generally it's not done because bankruptcy laws prevent you from doing that. You can only get rid of a bankruptcy loan if you go to court and you're completely disabled and you can't work at all. That's like the only situation, but you have to find a bankruptcy lawyer, you go to bankruptcy court, and basically you have to prove to the court you have no ability to pay back the loan. And that's very rare. I mean, it does happen, but it's rare. So the other option is to go to your lender and try to renegotiate the terms, which is also difficult, or try to refinance it. There are now services on the Internet. You just Google student loan refinancing. They'll pop up,
okay,
and they can help you get a better rate. They won't get you out of the loan, but they will help lower your monthly rate and payment. So those are three options. The first two are very, very difficult, and the third is becoming more feasible, but it still won't get you out of the loan.
Well, and that third one that you mentioned, John, is that something that the student, the borrower, is doing, or is that something that is pulling the parents into the equation?
Well, both can do that, actually.
Okay.
Parents and students.
Okay, because it sometimes is a little hard, you know, because this is in the American culture, you know, there is certainly a strong piece of this that the parents are involved in encouraging this education and helping to, you know, helping the student make that happen to be, you know, to give them a good, really good push out of the nest upward so they have a chance to fly and helping to underwrite the college education, of course, is a big part of that.
And I should also say that policy-wise, there are many groups that are calling either for forgiveness of student loans or giving them the ability to refinance at low rates. So take a federal loan. I mean, the federal government borrows money at essentially no rate of interest. And a lot of people are saying, well, why can't we do this with students? Why should they be charged interest at all? So there's lots of schools of thought on this, and they range the gamut, but it's certainly something that needs to be discussed.
Yeah, definitely. And if I were to, you know, presume to have an intelligent opinion on that, John, I think that the you know, if the federal government is borrowing at 10-year treasuries around 2%, that'd be a pretty good rate for these students if their rates could just, you know, go right along with what the government can borrow at and turn around and lending to the students.
I was king, I would say, you know, this should be all grants. If you got a qualified kid, why saddle them for debt for, you know, next 20 years?
Yeah, and it's something that I know that will continue to be discussed, but it's really, it's helpful to get perspective because, and you mentioned this earlier, it's something that I run into quite often, John, in the financial planning work that I do, that I'll have parents and or grandparents that come in, and that the student debt is more often than people would imagine or expect is part of the equation. And so it's not just that kid out there who, you know, that young adult who's graduated, gotten a degree that maybe wasn't what they thought it was going to be, or they ended up, the degree was great and it was wonderful and very valuable, but then they've had a career or, you know, their plans have changed radically and they no longer are going to get the benefit of that, but that debt's still out there and they can't really, you know, tackle it.
Well, you know, as a financial planner, you already know this. Things happen.
Oh, yeah.
But counseling is not there for most of these families.
Yeah.
They think, oh, debt is fine. It's a college degree. It'll pay for itself. Not always the case. And they really need to do some good debt management counseling that they're not getting in high school. They're not getting in college. You know, financial planners know this subject really well. And yet, I don't think any families are really approaching them to ask them, of like, how did this fit into our total financial plan? How does it fit into us saving for retirement? You know, what's it going to do to our son or daughter? These are really big questions. And once you take on those loans, I mean, you're stuck with them.
Yeah.
You can't say, you know, hey, I didn't get the job I thought I was going to get. I can get rid of my student loans. They stay with you a long time.
Well, thank God somebody wrote the book, The Debt-Free Degree, an ebook from Forbes. John Wasik did that, and we're super glad he's been with us on the program, johnwasik.net. John, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.